Talking of tough questions, here's our very own ice queen, Diana O'Carroll, who's been rifling through our genes in the name of question of the week.
This week, what's swimming in the great Olympic-sized pool of human genetics? Here's Derek from Japan.
Hi. My question is, should we be worried about the future of the human genome? And what I mean by that is, we no longer reproduce based on the strongest survive. Medical science has gotten to a point where many people live to adulthood who would have never lived 50, 100, 300 years ago. Severe genetic problems that used to not allow those people to grow to adulthood are now easily solved, yet we pass those on to our children now. So, should we be worried about what's happening to the human genome, and is there anything we can do about it? Thanks.
Is modern medicine having a greater effect than natural selection would?
Hello, my name's Professor Bill Amos, and I'm based in the zoology department in Cambridge University. This is an interesting question, but I'm afraid many of the aspects really are quite unresolved. Perhaps we could start with the problems with births. Humans, of course, have been evolving larger and larger brains for a while now, which gives them larger skulls, and this, of course, can present problems during the birth process. These days we can use cesarean section, but the key point here is that it's only going to become an increasing problem if those children born by cesarean section are born, grow up, and have larger families than on average. And this is a recurrent theme. So, for example, individuals with spina bifida, this is a rare genetic disease, if they also grow up, again, this is only going to become an increasing problem if they themselves then have larger families. And it's almost certainly not the case that this would happen with most genetic defects. I think perhaps more interesting is the question of the immune function, the genes that help us fight disease. And here I think there may be an interesting issue. In developing countries where there's much less access to medical treatment and antibiotics, many children die through infections that are potentially preventable. This, in theory, removes some of the individuals with weaker or poorly attuned immune systems from the population. But in the Western culture, where more medicine is present, these individuals would grow up. So what happens to them in Western culture? My best guess is that these are the people who are likely most prone to asthma and allergies, since these are potentially reflections of a poorly tuned immune system, and that is what we might predict these have.
So modern medicine might change who lives and who dies, but as the human population is so large, the overall effect on the gene pool shouldn't be species altering. And this is because the number of people either being born by cesarean section or surviving in spite of inherited diseases aren't likely to breed in greater numbers than the rest of the population. Human immune function, however, may change through time. And on the forum, Clifford Kay very interestingly pointed out the other side, in that the technology to abort fetuses with chromosomal abnormalities exists, and that sperm donors can be selected on the basis of what we consider to be positive attributes. And from one pair of perfect partners to another, cheese and wine.
Hello, Naked Scientists. My name's Tom. I'm originally from the UK, but I currently live in Wellington, New Zealand. I'd like to know where the tastes of some food complement each other so well, for example, cheese and wine. Thanks very much, and keep up the great show.
Blessed are the cheesemakers. But why? Answers to Chris at thenakedscientist.com. You can write on the forum at thenakedscientist.com/forum. You can Facebook us, or you can Twitter at Naked Scientists.
Thank you very much, Diana O'Carroll. So if you know why cheese and wine go so well together, then do get in touch. That's all we have time for this week. Thank you to our wonderful guests, Lorna Dugan, who's from Leeds University, and Barry Fuller, who is from University College London, and also to our production team, Tom Simpkins, Mira Cynthilingam, Ben Vowsler, and Emma Stoy. Now, next week, we're going to be tickling your scientific taste buds because we're exploring the chemistry of cooking and also the microbiology behind blue cheese. Because, get it? It is Cheese Awareness Week. It really is next week. In the meantime, if you have a science question for us, then do tweet it to @NakedScientists. You can write on our Facebook wall, that's nakedscientists.com/Facebook to get there, or you can, of course, email us, chris@thenakedscientists.com.
The Naked Scientists comes to you from Cambridge University and is supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC, the Natural Environment Research Council, and UK FAST. For more information, look us up online at thenakedscientists.com.